Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
7:14 now on this Friday morning. Enjoy today because it's going to get a lot colder pretty quickly. Highs of 63. Tomorrow, even warmer, highs of 70, but a chance for showers. Front comes through later in the day. Sunday, cold, windy, highs of 54. 42 for a high. Monday, 38 on Tuesday, 60% chance for some precipitation. And maybe on Wednesday, a 40% chance for snow. We'll have to watch and see what happens with that. Peyton Malone, your WWL Louisiana forecaster, saying it's a little bit early for all of that, and he likened it to a cone of probability, but not for a hurricane, for snow. Freddie King joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Freddie?
I'm doing fine. Time out about yourself?
I'm okay. Let's talk about, first of all, Happy New Year. I don't think I've spoken to you. And let's talk about snow in the city and homeland security and all of that. Have y'all had any conversations? Has anything changed as it relates to traffic and all that stuff with a threat for snow?
I haven't had those conversations with Homeland Security or with anyone in our NOLA Ready Department. Not saying those conversations hadn't been had, but I personally haven't had it with them just yet.
Let's talk about the French Quarter, and we spoke to you, I think, after the Bourbon Street attack. What's changed? What have you learned since then?
Well, as it relates to our preparedness, we are much more prepared for something like this. I talked to Officer Bratton or Commissioner Bratton's team and the NOPD leadership earlier this week. They have laid out a plan to have us protected for Super Bowl, have us protected for Mardi Gras, working in conjunction with NFL, Homeland Security, FBI, State Police, National Guard. So we will be protected when it comes to Mardi Gras, when it comes to Super Bowl. One question and one of the statements that Chief Kirkpatrick made in our conversation at the beginning, which is something that we all as a community need to think about, is what are we willing to give up? What freedoms, what enjoyments are we willing to give up for protection? She said we can lock down Bourbon Street, the French Quarter, parade routes like Fort Knox, but will that make us no longer? Well, will that no longer make us a city that we are? So those are some conversations we're having internally that we're going to also have with our community, with our French Quarter and community stakeholders. But I can tell you, Tom, the city is open for business. And we have learned, and we are learning, how to make our city safer as it relates to these attacks.
When it comes to things and the conversations that y'all have spoken about, Freddie, I don't want you to give anything away, but would the people that go to the French Quarter for the Super Bowl, because, you know, I've gone down there before for the Super Bowl, and it's a good time, man. People buy you drinks and everything else from Denver and everywhere else. They don't care. They're just having a good time. Will they notice a difference in security, or will it be the kind of thing like I used to approach a standpoint of security for my kid, kind of like Secret Service, where I'm keeping you safe, but you really don't know it because I'm trying to be invisible?
It's yes and no, Simon. So there are going to be dozens upon dozens of undercover NOPD officers, FBI, State Police, Homeland Security, and of course you won't know those, but you will notice the bomb sniffing dogs. Deputy Chief Gonthier mentioned that there's going to be more of a presence, a higher presence of bomb sniffing dogs. You're going to see more barricades and traffic calming devices on the road. So it's going to be a little bit of both. Talking to police chiefs in different parishes, they're on board to lend their services where needed. Gretna, West Wego, Harahan, East Baton Rouge, Plaquemine, all the surrounding parishes. So as it relates to traffic calming devices, archers, barricades, yes, but there's also going to be those undercover officers that you don't know are officers among the crowd.
As it relates to ice chests, I don't know. You know, and when you look at the video, and we spoke to Devin Bartolotto from Channel 4, y'all can find that story at WWL.com about how the ice chest removed from here to there, people looking at him, dancing around him, and so forth. That's part and parcel of Mardi Gras. And you know, Arthur Hardy told me, I always quote him on this, that when you talk about a guy in a mask dragging an ice chest down the street, that's pretty much a description of Mardi Gras. So I don't know how you police that. You can't outlaw ice chests, can you?
Once again, Tom, it's what are we as a community willing to give up? You talk about outlawing ice chests for Mardi Gras. I mean, people keep their food warm, their drinks cold, their bottles for their kids at the proper temperature. But that's a tough call. That's a tough call. That kind of no longer makes us who we are. And talking to Chief Kirkpatrick, do you want NOPD stopping every person with an ice chest? Because now you can't really focus on the other potential dangers around you. So those are ongoing conversations. One thing that I'm personally more concerned about, the ice chest, but what about, I keep going back to it, the concealed weapon. Mm-hmm. One thing was stated in our meeting, I can see somebody with a concealed weapon. I now cannot stop them. So I'm more concerned about that. This is coming from law enforcement in the room and myself. I'm more concerned about that weapon that I can definitely see, but I can't take from that individual. I can't do that terror stop than that ice chest that's being dragged along.
I did know this. I went to the Sugar Bowl, and as I was leaving, they had somebody on the on-ramp, Porter Street on-ramp, with an ice chest selling drinks with no license. And I, the only thought that went through my mind was, well, you know, first of all, I was not really worried because it seemed like the most secure area in the world with all of the presence of police and weapons and everything else and drones flying overhead on Poydras Street. But I did have the thought of, well, how did that guy get an ice chest up on the Poydras on-ramp or Gate A entrance, whatever it was, and selling drinks without a license? Not that the focus is about the drinks, more about the ice chest and who vetted him, et cetera. So we'll talk more. We'll come back. 720, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Time for traffic now on WWL. 725 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Freddie King, New Orleans City Council member, about ice chest and Mardi Gras and security. And Freddie, I agree with you, man. There's nothing to be totally safe. You got to ask, what are you willing to give up? And there's that old saying about security and liberty and all that stuff. I don't know where all that fits into this. When it comes go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to add a few things, Tommy. We are now, as it relates to the Special Events Assessment Rating, that's SEARS, S-E-A-R, we're level one. That's going to provide us with extra security from the federal level, from Homeland Security, from the FBI, because Mardi Gras and Super Bowl are looked at as events that has national or international importance that's going to require federal help. So just want to reiterate how safe, how secure the French Quarter, the entire city will be when it comes to Mardi Gras and a Super Bowl. Just want to be that voice of calmness and reason. Let people know we are open for business. Don't let that event shake you up too much and get you out of your routine. I mean, enjoy yourself. Come visit our city.
You can't, Freddie, because you let them win. If you do that, you just can't. That's crazy to let one sick individual take everything away from you with Mardi Gras and everything else. You can't do it. And like you're saying, if you want to worry about anything, worry about shootings along parade routes. But even with that being said, NOPD is on top of it, and it happens at every different parade. I remember we had one 10, 15 years ago, and Garland Robinette, I was on the air at the time, texted me and said, look up Rose Parade shootings. And I got them at the Rose Parade, too. It's just part of living in America. It's just the way. Let's talk about what your constituents in a quarter are saying, what business owners in a quarter are saying about this talk of pedestrian mall and all of that stuff. Do you see that happening?
Well, talking to business owners, and haven't talked to all of them and residents, they're concerned about that possibility. Business owners pretty much say, look, you're going to shut us down. It's too early to make that call right now. They're concerned about deliveries and linen deliveries, food deliveries, beverage deliveries. They are really concerned about the possibility of making the quarter a pedestrian mall only, at least the ones I've spoken to. even members of the residential community in the quarter about making it completely pedestrian. That is a concern, but we are having those ongoing conversations with our security experts, with French Quarter stakeholders, business, residents, even members of the hospitality community, moving outside the French Quarter into the Marriott. Frenchman Street between Esplanade and Royal has become a mini Bourbon Street. And there's also talks and conversation about how to protect that strip of Frenchman, because that is a heavy area that is used by pedestrians. So as relates to locking down a quarter, making it pedestrian only, those conversations are happening. Not so much making it pedestrian only, but how can you make it safer for pedestrians? But we want to have all the stakeholders voices heard, businesses again, residents, and those who work in the French Quarter.
And we all want to be safe and so forth. But as a final thought, when it comes to it, we've all learned a lot more about archer barriers and wedge barriers and so forth. Are you involved in the investigation and how these archer barriers were maintained and how they're going to be deployed in the future and all of that? Are you involved in that, Freddie?
I'm involved as it relates to getting the information to the residents. I'm not in the war room going through detailed files and pictures, but getting the information to the residents, making sure that it's transparent and we know as much as we can know. Yes, I'm involved to that extent.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Freddie King, New Orleans City Council. Remember, we come back, we're going to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. We'll talk about what he knows, or what basically as it relates to the banking business going on with Capital One and when they might get that fixed up. Right now, time for WWL First News. Good morning, 7:42, 18 till 8. Maybe some snow next week. You know, that's got Mark Rosa happy. Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. On Friday mornings, we help you manage your money, and that's what we're going to do. Mark, you got to be excited about this snowfall, huh?
I'm excited already.
Cold weather coming in, freezing temperatures. You'll be out there in the pool.
Absolutely. Do all I can.
Yeah.
Soak up as much. That's right.
Mark's the shirtless guy at the hockey game on New Year's Day where they play outside with the fan blowing on him saying, come on, what's up?
Right. Bring it. Bring it on.
Mark, I know that you got nothing to do with any of this at all, but let's talk about what's going on with Capital One and people not getting their deposits. I mentioned earlier, I made my credit. Yesterday was payday for us. We have direct deposit, and I made my post-kids wedding Christmas card, credit card payoff payment, and if that paycheck had not shown up, wow, there could have been some trouble. So what does this say to you? What does this speak to?
I mean, I think intuitively, I think people realize that, you know, there are networks all over the place. And because of our demands on financial services and cell phone services, and, you know, the consumer is fairly demanding when it comes to those services. It's like, I don't want any glitches. I want my phone to work 24 hours a day. And I want my, my banking to do the same thing. So I'm scheduling automatic payments on my credit cards, and I'm scheduling all that and putting it into a system that goes into a network that has to be operated by third parties outside of your financial institution, and there's no other way to do it. Not everybody is, you can't possibly do the networks yourself, and even if you could, there would be chances of things going down. And I remember years ago when things were really ramping up, this might have been in the 90s, that they said, okay, we're going to hook up to this system. It's largely run by, you know, Microsoft technology, and they're backing the servers and all these things. And it was always, well, what's the reliability? It's like, well, Microsoft has, you know, one of the highest points of reliability. It was 5.9 reliability. And it's like, 5.9? 59? No, 5.9. What did that mean? Was it, the system is up 99.999% of the time. That's what they wanted as a standard. And they leave themselves 0.0001 as saying, well, you know, we can have brief interruptions, but we're back on. But that 5.9 reliability was the gold standard. I would suspect that it still is something like that today, or even maybe higher. But, you know, if you took the amount 0.0001 and multiplied it by the number of hours in a year, which are significant, well, that's the number of hours they could be down. And it would be like, well, this is an acceptable outage. This is an acceptable timeout. People don't want to hear that. They don't want to say, well, this is in an acceptable range. It's like, well, what happened? I was, never forget, also was called by, I had a former student some years ago, and his dad calls me and he says, you know, I was trying to use, it wasn't on Jefferson Financial. He had a debit card. He says, you know, I was in the grocery. I had a basket full of groceries. I swiped my debit card and it didn't work. I asked him to swipe it again and it didn't work. He said, I was embarrassed. I got my groceries there. Now what do I do? Thing didn't go through. And I said, well, either one of the networks that are behind that system could have had a glitch. It could have been very temporary. 10 minutes later, it could have gone through, or 10 minutes sooner, it could have gone through. And it was just that hiccup for that brief period of time. And how many people are right there when that hiccup happens and that interruption happens? And no matter how few it is, you don't want anybody to go through that. But I said, all these rules of thumb that, you know, people, you know, don't want to hear about that either. It's like, well, you know, do you have a credit card? No, I don't like to use credit cards. I said, that's not what I asked you. Do you have a credit card? Can you keep it in your wallet? And that could be a plan B. You know, that would be a different network and very possibly get your transaction through. And then you could deal with moving money over from your checking and pay your credit card off and all those things behind the scenes. But for that brief moment where you're trying to get out of the grocery with a basket full of, you know, cold items or whatever it is, you don't want that to be interrupted. So all these third, but what I'm reading about Capital One right here, it's a third party vendor. It's one of these networks that act behind the scenes. Capital One's a big shop, and I'm sure they have global reach. And you have to have these vendors that are working, because somebody's in Italy on vacation and wants to buy a sandwich. Well, you want that transaction to go through as well. But Tommy, it gets to be fragile. And, you know, maybe some people forgot about that CrowdStrike incident that happened last summer, that a faulty program upgrade was uploaded and it adversely affected the Microsoft software that was behind it. It was like 8.5 million servers were down. That affected millions and millions and tens of millions of people. I know somebody that was traveling during that time. They got to the airport, missed the flight, couldn't get off. The programs were scrambled. All the bags were lost. To this day, she's not gotten her bag back. She said, well, I had some things in my bag that were kind of costly. I just had some, you know, whatever was going on with that. And she got a check for, you filed a claim, got a check for a couple of $100s, where she said, I basically had $1,000 worth of stuff in there. So that was a total loss. And again, it just wipe out. And to this day, thousands of people. It's like, where did the bag? The physical bag has to be someplace, but there was no mechanism to get it to the end user. And I even called on that person's behalf, called the airline, and I said, well, what do you? Oh no! Well, the bag tag numbers only have a very short life. They only go a couple of days, and that tag number basically drops off the table. So that's a, you know, here we go again with a computer application that really doesn't serve anybody very well. If you were trying to look for that bag or its location within 48 hours, that's great. If you're out 72 hours, which was much more impactful than that, there was no way to really tie the bag to the person. So I'm thinking there's a warehouse out there someplace just packed with bags that'll never get to their end destination to get back to the owners. But it's something to deal with. We're a very demanding society with the things that we do electronically, and these third party, these very influential third party providers for connections that pull all of this stuff together, they occasionally have hiccups, and when it does, everybody hears about it.
So I guess what I'm wondering is my bigger concern, and you're a banker, that's why I wanted to ask you about this. Are all of our banking eggs in too few baskets when it comes to something like this or not?
Oh, Tom, I think somebody can describe it that way. Somebody could say, you know, we've got some big players out there and you want large, reliable networks with with double or even triple redundancy, but that doesn't mean that something can't happen. So I'm always fearful. You know, when that CrowdStrike came in, we've never seen anything like that before. I thought that was the largest cyber failure, I think, in the world's history. But can something else like that? It showed me, I mean, just in my humble and significant world, that it's like too much is weighing on a couple of these systems. And you could. I'm thinking we could see one of those again. There would be no reason why I wouldn't think something of that magnitude is going to happen again. So what do you do? I mean, you have some cash around. What happens if one of those systems really go down, or if they're going down from an attack or cyber attacks or those types of things? Or financial institutions spend a lot of money on that to not be hacked and those things. But even the government examiners that come in. It used to be, you know, of course you don't want to be hacked. You got to do everything, spend a ton of money on it so that you're not hacked or you don't have a data breach. And it was about 8 or 10 years ago where they turned their tune. It's like, well, okay, this is what you do when you've been breached. So they were saying, well, it's an inevitable event. You just have to contain it after you've been breached. So that's some of the conversation that now is in boardrooms and planning rooms and IT departments. It's like, well, okay, just to contain it after that's happened. So it's a scary thought, but we've seen, you know, the Pentagon breached. We've seen of late in the state, the Office of Motor Vehicles was breached. We had some fraud coming out of that breach. What did the bad guys do? They breached Office of Motor Vehicles. They were able to duplicate driver's licenses with accurate information on it. Let's say your information, but my picture on a license that they made. And they were going into financial institutions, opening up accounts and conducting fraudulent transactions. And I could pretend that I'm you, but my picture's on it. So to the person inside the financial institution, it looks legit. But that was a two-step. First, they got the data off of the driver's licenses, and then they were able to make fake IDs with accurate information on them.
This is managing your money, and Mark, is a little bit off of what we normally do, but when you, in light of the Capital One thing and eggs and baskets and all of that stuff, would you advise people to have some cash on hand just in case of, I'm not talking about, you know, some kind of catastrophic this or that or the other thing, but just... You know, and I know you got to be careful about having cash in your house, and if it's stolen, it's stolen.
No.
But having some cash just keep you a little bit liquid?
Yes, is the short answer. And it's like, you know, you just got to ask yourself, because everybody's different. Okay, what if the bank is closed today? Not physically closed, that you can't walk into the branch. What happens if there's something where I just can't get to the money, the debit card isn't working or whatnot? The person I was saying on that other example, I said, look, put a credit card in your wallet with your debit card. I don't like credit cards. I know you don't like them, but put it with in case of this. And he's like, well, I can't see myself carrying two cards. I said, why did you call me? Well, you're a banker of 40 years. Yes. And that's what I would do to fend off maybe some of these glitches that might happen electronically. So you have to ask yourself, what if you can't get to your money for a day or two or three? What does that mean to you? And that should signal to you how much, maybe cash, maybe half of that, maybe, you know, three. It's to the extent that people are comfortable and feeling, okay, this is what could bridge a slight outage. And then I'm not going to miss a beat. I could go buy groceries or whatever else I need to do. If it gets longer than that, naturally, it's going to wear out everybody's plan B. But I'd say some level of planning is prudent.
Great information, Mark. And along those lines, I've taken to doing that. I've also taken to moving some out of stocks and bonds and into some other things, more secure things. And we'll talk about that on Monday with some more valuable information as we take a look at the week ahead on Wall Street Monday morning markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Tommy.
Valuable information. Y'all go to jeffersonfinancial.org. Find some calculators in between now and then that are absolutely free, no obligation. It'll help you sort out your budget and your personal finances. 754, 6 till 8. Traffic now, WWL.